Okay. See, she thought, you don't ever want to not own up to something because it could mean money to you. Also, I'll announce it now that Sister Chelsea Fisher's baby shower is June the 22nd, which is, what's that, dinner? Is that potluck dinner day? On Sunday at 2:30 in the Tucker Room. Okay? You can... She is registered at Target and Babies R Us. So, the Sunday, June 22nd, in the Tucker Room at 2:30 p.m. after potluck dinner. In other words, it's Chelsea's baby shower. So, they say she's having a girl. She would have had a boy if Sister Weiniger hadn't knocked over my deal. All right, let's have service.
Father, we thank you, Lord, for your love and your mercy and your grace.
Hallelujah.
Asking you, Lord, to touch your people. We have the service today. Bless the band members and the players. To bless your people, Lord, with their talents. Find in their life.
Thank you.
Oh, God. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity you granted us to be with the people. Giving us a part today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. search me, Lord. Yes, search me, Lord. Turn the searchlight of heaven on my soul. And if you find anything that shouldn't be, Lord, take it out. Straighten me. I want to be right. I want to be saved. I want to be whole. Oh, search me, Lord. Yes, search me, Lord.
Be right. I want to be saved. I want to be whole. Oh, search me.
Here we are. Praise God. It's good to have Brother Michael Smith back in church. He's back among the living. Still on the recovery process, but he's recovering. That's the main thing. Praise God. And I appreciate these songs that they're kind of follow along with some of our Bible study. We've been working on the book of Hebrews and talking about entering into the rest of God and in the fourth chapter, which is where we're at, it says that the word of God is sharp and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's piercing asunder, dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and joints and marrow. If we open ourselves up to God and the Word of God, we'll do just what these songs say. They'll search us out. The Spirit of the Lord is the Spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Searching out the inward parts of the belly. That word belly there just means our innermost being, the seat of our affection. It's a little bit sobering to say, God, search me out. You know. Dig down inside and see if you can find something. I think David said, search my heart and see if there be any wicked way found in me. and he prayed the Lord would cleanse him. Well, I appreciate that has to be our attitude and our spirit towards the Lord. In our walk with Him, serving Him. Oh, I want to mention Brother Mark Mullins. He's from Oklahoma City. His dad, Mark Mullins, of course. Greg. And his mother, Renee, lives out here in Benton, and he's right now visiting her. And he wanted to be in church with us. So appreciate anybody that wants to be in church service. So he's going to go to Wichita next week and see his brother. But anyway, we're glad to have him. And I might just mention right here, but Sister Bryant's sick today. And Brother Bryant, huh?
Brother Bryant, he's got a problem with his stomach.
Yes.
Doctors can't find what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, they're both just kind of down. She's just down in her back and wore out, and he's having trouble too, and so he let me know that they couldn't be here today. And of course, Brother and Sister Crowell needs our prayers. They're still, Sister Crowell went back in. I didn't hear the last report Friday. She had another doctor's appointment, but she had had an x-ray, and one of her doctors, even after she had this procedure of gluing this fracture she had, this when she went back Wednesday to the doctor, well, he saw something on the x-ray he didn't like, and he was going to have her go to another orthopedic doctor Friday. Okay, well, I talked to her Thursday, and she said, I got to go to this orthopedic doctor tomorrow. Which she may have been confused on the Friday. She just may have got it that way. But anyway, she's still in pain, and she's still having a lot of discomfort, and they still need our prayers. She said, Brother Smith, I can't have surgery. I've got to take care of Harlan. Bless her heart. And so let's pray for them. You know, if we live long enough, we're all going to face what they're going through. And so Anyway, My mother had her birthday yesterday, her 93rd birthday, and my brother and his wife came down for their birthday to be with her, and we had a good day for her, but she did somehow, with her bed rails up, she got out of bed and wound up in the floor, and we found her in the floor, first time she's done that. We've caught her almost, you know, trying to get out. The first time, the bed rails were probably just went down that far to the bottom of the bed, so we think she scooted down and scooted out that hole. So I extended the bed rails. I was able to extend them down to where now she's going to have to get through a little hole about that big. But I wouldn't put it past her, to be honest with you. She's something else. Anyway, I'm sure part of the excitement of just being her birthday and everybody calling her on the phone and talking to her and her brother and his wife being there just was caused her to be a little over exuberant, more than normal. Anyway, keep her in your prayers. And who else needs prayer to hear today? I'm probably missing some. Sure, Brother John. All right, let's pray for Brother McPhee. I must have missed something that... but don't cut it off, Brother John. Let's see if we can save it. We're trying. Yes, sir. All right, Brother Daniels has a kidney stone procedure tomorrow morning at the VA hospital at 6:30. Keep him in your prayers. What's her name?
Joanne.
All right, dear Lord. All right, let's remember that. Also, let's keep praying for Brother Johnson's, him and his wife's situation. You know, if God could work it out some way for her insurance to be accepted or something that could work out, they'd rather be here. Let's pray God will make a way. Don't you know God's able to do that for them? He's able. He can make a way there seems to be no way. So let's keep that in our prayers. I wanted to mention Sister Painter shared with me that... one of the Tyler vans had an accident going up the hill to the campground. And there were, Sister Yancey, I believe, was injured and had to go to the hospital. And, well, there's three or four of them in the van that got injured. I don't think anything's life-threatening, but they were injured. And I'm sure would appreciate if we'd pray for them and pray for the camp meeting this week. It's... already camp meeting time starts tomorrow night, so let's pray for the campground meeting. All right, Sister Weiniger, yes. Who else? Somebody had their hand up. Yes, and isn't she going to have surgery Tuesday? Is that right? All right, so let's remember that. Uh-huh. Let's pray that it goes good. Sister Abraham. All right. Let's remember that. Brother Jaron. All right, Sister Pryor's not feeling well today, so let's pray for her. All right, keep praying. Sister Holly will get this day job so she won't be having to miss services or rotate, you know, job days. All right, if the ushers will come, let's receive the tithes and offering and pray for these needs here and the service. Keep praying for the work in the Dominican Republic, too. Precious Lord, oh God, dear Savior, God, you're our great physician. You're our help in the present time of need, oh God. You're our shield, our buckler. You're our strength. Oh God, you're our shield. You're our defense, Lord. You're our healer, Lord. Oh God, we're your children and we're needy, Lord. Oh God, meet the needs of this assembly. Touch our hearts. Oh God, touch this service. Touch every heart, Lord. Oh God, encourage your people. Help us, oh God. Deliver us, oh God, from anything that would hinder us, dear Savior. These that are sick in their body, God, touch them today. Brother and Sister Bryant and the Crows, oh God, touch them. Touch Brother Michael. God, raise him up and heal him of this condition. Dear Lord, this sister in California with cancer. Oh, Jesus, precious Lord, touch her and help her today. Sandra York, God, touch her body. Help her. His condition in her shoulder. Brother Daniels, God, touch him. Heal him of this kidney stone. And the conditions that's in his body, Lord, God, begin to heal him and raise him up. Brother John's leg, God, touch his leg today. Oh, God, we're not dependent on all the things of man, but our trust is in you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We believe in you and depend on you to help us through this sinful world and the conditions thereof. Oh God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed be the Lord. Touch Sister Pryor today, Jesus. Help her, oh God. Sister Weiniger, touch her. And Brother Weiniger, his body and this condition in his body. Oh, Jesus, we pray. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Touch Sister Abraham's family, Lord. Reach into her family and touch them and help them, oh God. To look to you in a greater way where you can lead and direct and guide their steps. Help us all, oh God. We need you. We're in need of you and your strength and help and assistance. Touch those that were injured in that accident at the campground, the Tyler van, Lord. Each one, Sister Yancey and those that were hurt, God, touch them. Help them, watch over them, oh God. All those that travel this week, touch the brethren. Help them, oh God. Bless your people at the campground. Bless that meeting, Lord. We pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. All right. The Lord bless you as you give today. do really appreciate this church and your willingness to give and support the church financially. It's, the Lord's blessed us with good people that are willing to help us and help the church and support it. So I just want you to know how much I appreciate that. Also wanted to mention it's good to have Brother Jerry York back in services. He hasn't been doing very well lately, and I always miss him when he's gone. And I miss every one of you. Anybody ever misses a service that I don't know you're gone. I know it. I care about you being here, and I care about your situation, and so I'm thankful for when you are here. And I did want to mention, I thought in the recent services, Sister Inez's talk and Brother Zach's talk really touched me. I thought they were the high point. Sister Watson talking about, she could get down in the dumps and consider all the trials that she's been through and just let herself get frustrated and discouraged with all of that. She's looking in the mirror, talking to herself about it. And she said, that evidently the devil was talking to her. And she said, I know I could get discouraged. I could look at all of that if I wanted to, but I choose to praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, God, that's how we have to be, isn't it? He's worthy. If we go back, sometimes when you get discouraged, like if you just go back and do a little inventory, you'll come out on the praise end. You'll come out thinking, my Lord, I've been blessed. I'm blessed. And I think sometimes you even have to be like the three Hebrew children. You just got to say, whether God delivers me or don't, I'm going to keep serving Him. I'm going to keep praising Him because I know if I do, I'll come out victorious in the end. That's right. Even if it's not in this life. None of us have. And that was sort of Brother Zach's encouragement or admonition to us. We're God's children, he said. What more can you ask for? the Lord is, you're His child. You're in the family of God. His blessings are on your life. He cares about you. God will bless you if He can. I know there's, we never went through things like the early church went through where they were suffering such great persecution that they had to flee out of Jerusalem. Can you imagine those Jews? That was the heart of God's kingdom. That was, the temple. That's where everything they put all their stock in was for their whole history and their whole heritage. And persecution got so great. And, of course, those that became Christians, they knew that temple wasn't no longer the natural temple worship that took place. They understood the spiritual meaning of it. They understood the covenant that was in Christ meant and what it stood for. And they knew that natural temple. But, I'm sure they still had to appreciate everything about that temple because they understood what everything in there stood for, what it represented, and what it meant to their life and how God gave Israel all of that all those years. It still was precious to them. The Apostle Paul, he still went to all those feasts. He saw something so great in that. And, of course, I'm sure he wanted to talk to a few people and tell them, You know, you don't understand what that altar really means? You understand this gate, what it really means? Do you understand that laver, what it really means? Do you know, understand all of these things that we've done all these years, what they really represent? He had, you know, if he could get in there, he had a platform to preach from. He had something to say about all of that. And, you know, but, and then for them to, even the city, Jerusalem, they understood that it was the church. It represented the church, the city of the living God. This and Zion, you know, Mount Zion. There, those mountains around there, they, all of that had the history of God and God's people all wrapped up in it and the meaning of it all. And then for them to have to flee out of there because of such persecution. You know, you might think, well, God, you know, why don't you stop this? But the Lord, He has to let the iniquity of man reach its full place before He can fully judge it. You know, if God would judge things too early, sometimes you would feel like, you know, you might not understand God's judgment, why He judged it. But when you see iniquity working in its fullness and how gross sin really can become, they saw that beast system, that dragon power in its height of wickedness. They understood, you know, God's judgment in AD 70, but they also understood, we got to get out of here. God's judging this place, and man's sins has got so great that, you know, I don't know if any of y'all are starting to feel it yet, but I can tell you right now, you're going to be in the minority if you're a Christian before this is over with. You're going to feel that. You're going to realize that in this country, which is, you know, it's unbelievable. That would have been unbelievable in Jerusalem. It would have been unbelievable that you know, God's people, you know, that, I mean, it is amazing that a man like Jesus could come along and do nothing but good, and they want to kill him for it. Just show you how corrupt and how blind people's minds can become. And they called good evil and evil good, and but for those people to have to leave there and go to up into Southeastern Asia and find new place to be, to live. That was and God, you know, He couldn't, for the plan of God to be carried out and God's judgment to be carried out, He couldn't fix that for them. They had to endure it. They had to suffer it. And so we've never suffered anything like that. But now we're mainly having to deal with our own, you know, our own problems that mostly are created by our own selves. We make mistakes and we, you know, we have to work ourselves out of different situations. But thank God there's a God in heaven that'll help us. That He understands that about us. He understands our weaknesses and He's willing to help us and strengthen us. You know, and so I appreciated their words of admonition and exhortation to, you know, let's praise Him. Let's give Him praise. He's worthy of our praise. Let's serve Him. Let's look on the good things. This is a good life serving God right now. There's still good. You can still serve Him and not be persecuted for it in any great way. Nobody's going to say much to you. You can just live a good, clean Christian life. There's still peace to do that. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, there's going to be a time when you're going to, you know, you're going to think, you know, here I am trying to just, all I'm trying to do is do good. And I'm in trouble for it. If you live long enough, you'll probably see that in the end of this world. But right now, it's a good time to serve the Lord. Right now is a good time to praise Him. Right now is a good time to reach down and get a hold of your bootstraps with both hands and pull them up and get yourself encouraged, get your head lifted up, and realize that it's a good life. Hallelujah. God's good to His children. And there's good things still to be found. There's still good things to be achieved. There's blessings. We're living you may see a lot of corruption, but this is still the greatest country. God did this. God put a righteousness in America, in our forefathers, and gave us all of this structure that we're enjoying and living in today. Hallelujah. It's a good time to serve Him. It's a good time to praise Him. It's a good time to be lifted up and appreciate the things of God. I appreciated their encouragement the other day, because, you know, you can get down. You can get to looking at the negative side. You can get to looking at, you know, different things that goes on in life, even in the church. You can get to looking at the negative side. I choose to look at the positive. I choose to look towards God. I still choose to praise Him and to serve Him and to reach out and try to build the kingdom of God. I'm not interested in tearing it down. I'm not interested in running it down. I'm not interested in running any of y'all down. I'm interested in building and lifting up and praising and encouraging and looking on the good things of God. There's too many good things to look at the bad. That's not my life. I ain't lived a life down in the dumps and down in a hole and looking at everything and trying to, you know, justify, you know, me getting in some kind of bad spirit. I just say, get yourself in a good spirit, boy, and let's go on. Let's get your head lifted up. Look for the good things. Find some way to build and encourage and lift up. Hallelujah. There's great benefits in this kingdom. Great benefits in serving Him. Let's worship Him today. Let's look at the good things. Hallelujah. We're serving a good God. Yeah, right now in our Bible study, we're talking about, you know, the rest and things about perfection, that, like these songs we were singing today, but, and that's part of it. Part of it is shelling down the corn, you know, and saying, Lord, I want to serve You. I want to open my life up completely to You. I want to get corrected. But did you know this? God knows exactly where every one of us are. He understands every one of us. And He loves every one of us. And He's not trying to move us in any direction that we're not capable of moving in. He's a patient Savior. He's a great Savior. He's the author of our salvation. Yes, He is. He understands, you know, every one of us, and he may not be asking the same thing out of me that He's asking out of you. If you notice how I put that, see, I normally would have said He may not be asking thing out of you than He is me, but I just turned that around. I would rather put the responsibility on you. but I just think it's good to rest in the Lord. You know, I mean, we have entered into a rest and just saying, I'm going to serve You. My life's dedicated to serving God. And I know I don't have it all worked out yet, but I'm still on this journey. I still have my eyes on the goal. I'm still fixed on this high calling and the goal of perfection and the overcoming life and making the bride. And I'm not turned aside by any distractions from that. There's not anything that can get my attention. That, you know, I know God's fixed that in my mind. He's gave me revelation. By His grace, I'm still headed toward the prize mark of the prize of the high calling. It's in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And there's good time to work in. Hallelujah. It's a good life. Hallelujah. You might just sing that song, Sister Cindy. Get up there on the piano. Let's sing that little song. It's a good life the Lord has given me. I don't have to serve this world anymore. Hallelujah. Well, it's a good life the Lord has given me. I don't have to serve this world anymore. I have a family who cares and a God who never fails. Oh, praise His name. I want to live my life for Him. It's a good life the Lord has given me. I don't have to serve this world anymore. I have a family who cares, and a God, He never fails. Hallelujah. Praise His name. I want to live my life for Him. Hallelujah. It's a good life the Lord has given me. I don't have to serve this world anymore. I have a family who cares and a God who never fails. Oh, praise His name. I want to live my life for Him. Yes, it's a good life the Lord has given me. I don't have I want to live my life for Him. Well, it's a good life. Hallelujah. Has given me. Well, I don't have to serve this world anymore. I have a family. God who never fails. Oh, praise His name. I have to live my life for Him. It's a good life the Lord has given me. I don't have
scripture this morning in Bible study, and Hebrews, Brother Smith was going over, and it talked about laboring to enter into his rest. And I was thinking that, you know, a lot of the things that we encounter with God, you know, it's really, you know, God is not going to make us do anything, but he does put pressure on us. It's largely up to us how we respond to God. And I was thinking about that laboring, you know, how he's talking about to enter into his rest. And I was thinking, you know, and then it went on to say about unbelief or be found in unbelief. So to me, that laboring has to be dealing with believing God. You know, have to be on the belief side of God. And that's where we're laboring at. You know, I was thinking sometimes, you know, that scripture talked about, you know, people out here in religion, you know, might tell you you don't have to do anything. You know, just believe God and that's it. You know, like, set on your laurels. But I don't believe God wants us to do that. I think there's something to, in laboring, it's not necessarily how we see labor in the natural. But spiritually, you know, before God, you know, when you begin to labor before him, I think there's more to it than just physically laboring. You know, we have to get our minds in this. Otherwise, you know, how he talked, those two scriptures, he talked about our minds being, you know, God can blind. Our minds can be blinded by God, you know, if we don't humble ourselves. If we don't just begin to realize that we need God in our life and begin to be humble before him, to even, you know, for God to do anything for us. You know, he if we begin to humble ourselves before him and allow God to deal with our lives and begin to do something for us, even, you know, in our suffering. You know, how David wrote about it. He said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. You know, that's a statement David made. And before, you know, he recognized something there. And even in a, being afflicted, you know, he recognized that, you know, that had he not been afflicted, you know, he would have gone astray. And then he wrote another statement in Psalms about it was good for me to be afflicted. Somehow David recognized that it was good, you know, and this is a good life. You know, even if we are afflicted, this is a good life. That's what I'm saying. You know, it's still a good life. You know, even with our afflictions, you know, sometimes we have them. You know, you get a little older than you know. It was a brother in our church. He was just sitting on the platform. He was talking about his leg was hurting. Here I was young in my 20s, and I thought, why is his leg hurting? You know, I didn't understand that. But I understand it now, you know. Your leg may be hurting, you know. Your arm may be hurting. You know, your back may be hurting. But God still loves you, you know. That doesn't have anything to do with what God loves you now. He still loves you. You know, it's good that I was afflicted. You know, before I was afflicted, I might have gone astray. Sometimes, something you happen to you that keep you on the path, keep you going on the right path. You know, because otherwise, you know, you know, and just we're just natural human beings, though we're gonna do things. You know, that's what our nature. You know, if we yield over to our nature, we're going to do things that our nature tells us to do. But if we begin to put our trust in the Lord, begin to live for him, then then we do things that it's not normal. That's not according to our nature. We let God do things for us that's, you know, it's not normal. I'm not doing this. You know, Paul said, this is not me. You know, so we have to get that way, you know, with that. This is not me, you know, but I know that I'm going to have to obey God. I'm going to have to live for God. And I want to. That's my desire, is to live for God. Is to this this is a life that God has given us. And beside all of the ups and downs, the uprising and the down settings that go with it, you know, there will be some. There will be some down settings. I found that out. But that doesn't affect God. You know, he's there for us. And sometimes you look at things that you go through and you say, Lord, who that's talking about? I wouldn't, you know, want that anybody to go through this. I wouldn't, if it was me, I wouldn't let them go through it. But God, you know, God is not me, you know. you might say, well, God, I want to let this person suffer what they suffer. But he's not me, so he knows better than I do. You know, I can't see beyond some things. But God does see beyond things. He sees the end from the beginning. So he knows what's what I need. You know, he knows what's best for us. You know, God knows. So anyway, I just thought from Brother Smith's words this morning in Bible study and today, you know, trying to lift us up and let us realize, you know, that we can still be encouraged. We can still serve God. We can look to him and lift him up because he has, you know, been our example. I mean, he's been a great example, you know, to live in this world. You know, it may not be as modern as the world is today, but still there was mankind. You know, that was the nature of man that he had to deal with. And he knew what's in man. The Bible said that he knew what was in man. He didn't allow the Adamic nature to get control of him because he knew. You know, sometimes I'm getting more acquainted with it myself, but he knew. So he didn't get tripped up by the flesh. And sometimes, you know, I heard Brother Durham give his testimony about fasting and how that he time or two they let the flesh get control of him. You know, that's, you know, I do that. But I mean, Jesus, that didn't happen to him. So I'm getting more acquainted with that lifestyle to where, you know, I'm not want to get tripped up by the flesh. I know what's there. I know what's in man and me. You know, I know what's there. And so I just have to yield to God. You know, I can't just yield to my feelings. I can't just yield to my desires, but I have to yield to God and begin to trust him. So I'm thankful today that we are hearing these good things about God and how we can serve him. You know, we're serving God. We're servants of the King of heaven. So I'm just thankful today. I'm just glad to be in the house of God today. So it's good to be here.
With you and not doing the things that you thought I ought to do, or you not doing what I thought you ought to do. We've had a good life trying to make it one. You know, I was talking when my husband was talking, you know, it's like in a marriage. Not everything's been hunky-dory. Not everything's been sweet and lovely. Don't you think he's an angel? Believe me, I've been married to the man going on 43 years, and he's been married to me going on. Believe me, I'm no angel. Everybody knows that without me telling you. I'm no angel, but him, they think's an angel. They think I'm the devil. But believe me, we both got our good parts and we both got our bad parts, and together, you know what? We made one. The Bible said, you know, when it was said about marriage vows, they too shall be one. I tell my husband all the time, he can't hear, he's going deaf, and I can't see him going blind. But together, I see it, and he can hear it. And we can make it. And that's the way it is with the Lord. You know, God has given me, he's given me grace. God has looked down on my life. We've been through some things in our marriage and in our life and in our walk with Christ. Since I was, you know, and you know, you've been with us ever since when JJ was little, before she ever came to church. Sister Inez didn't cook, by the way. But before she came to the body of Jesus Christ, you know she cooked cake for the meeting. When we had meetings back then, and Brother Tucker asked her one time, what are you going to church? She said, I go to church here. He just looked at her and thought, okay, I don't remember seeing you. She had been there, what, once a year, maybe twice a year, but she went to church here, the only church she knew about. And I thought about that. You know, we've been through death. We've been through births. We've been through baptisms of fire. We've been through baptisms of praise, hallelujah, and we're still praising him. It's not that we've had it all good, Not even in this church. You know, when we look around and see the people that are sitting in the pews right now as compared to who was sitting in the pews when we came in and who wasn't even born at the time and who's died often. We've been through ups, way up and downs, way down. But you know we're still walking with the Lord. Hallelujah. It's a good life. It's a good life living for the Lord. You know what he said? He created, he said, what did he say? He said it was good. That was his word. He said it was good. And I believe it in my heart, and I'll always accept and love him for it, because it's a good life living for the Lord. It's a good life walking with Christ. It's a good, good life. And then to know that it's going to be greater, someday greater, that's what I look forward to. I hold fast to that it's going to be greater. I praise him. I lift him up and glorify him because I know it's going to be better. Hallelujah.
And real quick, and say how wonderful it is to hear these words today of praise for what the Lord's been doing for us, and praise that all the things that God has taken us through, that there's still so many other things that we can praise him for. And I want to take that opportunity to give him a praise tonight, today. Tonight, I want to give him a praise tonight, but I want to give him a praise today. I want to give him a praise tomorrow and every day of the week. I don't want to let things get me down, because God's just been so good. God's just been so good. It's good to feel what he's doing here today. It was so good to hear, to feel the Spirit in that last song that was prayed, that was played. It was so good to see and hear the praises that went up to God. It's just so good. It's so good to feel what God's doing. Zach, what more could I want? What more could I want than the opportunity to be a part of what God is doing? There are so many things that I could ask for. I could look at this world and see the riches this world has to offer. Other successes this world has to offer, achievements, but I want to. What is that compared to the riches, successes, and achievements we can have in the house of God? What is that compared to the Spirit that we feel here? So I want to give him a praise. I want to praise him. I want to give him a praise. I want to give him a praise every minute of every day.
God.
We can have peace in our hearts, or we can have turmoil in our soul.
I was talking to my sister Holly this week about some people she's encountered. You know, just for no reason, they just, and if we're not careful, we'll be the same way. But just for no reason, they'll just go off the deep end. That's a sign they got turmoil in their soul. They got turmoil in their heart. But we can have that wonderful peace, that wonderful feeling down deep inside. I know I came to church today, and we got up to pray, and I felt that wonderful feeling. I was telling Brother Matthew, I had to be slow saying your name. I said, you know, that is so good when you can just come to church and just feel that wonderful feeling that only God can give. I love that. And Brother Smith was talking about entering into our day of rest this morning. I was listening to that. I was thinking about that this week. I guess because you've been talking about it, just progressing along in Hebrews. When we totally surrender to God, Brother Tally was talking last Sunday about we can just totally surrender to God. Just let Him be our all. Just let Him be our guide. Let Him be our strength. I was thinking about it this week. I thought, Lord, our day of rest. And Brother Smith elaborated on it this morning. We rest from our own works. We can have that turmoil inside of our minds from trying to think ahead, trying to think what to do next. And we are supposed to do that. We're supposed to think ahead, think what to do next. But we can have that turmoil inside of, we watch our economy. We watch the decisions. We watch our country, the way it's going. We can have that turmoil, but we got to remember it's a good life living for the God we serve, for the one and only God that exists. I listened. Brother Mike Smith told us, I don't know, about a year ago now, I guess. He said, quit listening to the news. Stop listening to these people that talk, that point, that keep pointing toward that's always bad. Stop doing that. We're eating. We're eating if we do that. And I've been paying attention to that. If we eat of that all the time, then we'll be like what we eat in the natural. We'll get to feeling worse and worse and worse. And we get down. And after a while, you'd be like me when I was coming to church today. I thought, Lord, I hope everybody gets up and testifies today and talks about the good. Brother Smith started it out. I thank God for that. I thank God for a place like an oasis in the desert. I guess that's the best way to describe it. It's like an oasis in the desert. We walk through this life, and if we're not careful, we'll feed on what we encounter. And we need to come to church just to get that wonderful strength, just to feel that wonderful feeling, just to feel that wonderful peace. It's one of them kind of things. I can understand people sitting here so long, you know, between testimonies. I love sitting here and just feeling that feeling. I feel like sometimes I can just rear my head back and say, God, I love that feeling. I love that feeling, Lord. Yeah, it's rest. It's peace. It's a good life. I love that. I love that. We don't have to be, well, now I'm not opposed to jumping and hopping all the time. I like doing that too. But I love feeling that wonderful feeling at the same time. We can feel that. I love that feeling. I just wanted to give God praise today. I just wanted to lift His name. Have you ever just felt like, God, I'm not worthy to lift Your name, but You're worthy to receive it. You're worthy to receive it, Lord. And Brother Smith was talking about, Sister Tally, I'm sorry, was talking about we're not angels by any stretch of any imagination. I'm not an angel. I see myself, and Brother Smith was talking about that this morning. We're looking to the perfect law of liberty, that word. And it, you know, it says, behold, I see through a glass darkly. But then that dark glass starts clearing up. No! It's like when I look in the mirror, I see that old man looking back at me. I say, no! Like Sister Watson was talking about last weekend. No! I want to stay young forever. But it ain't going to happen. It's not happening. And that's the way it is when you look in the Bible. That glass starts clearing up. And you say, no, that's not me. No. I don't know if y'all are tempted to do it. I have shut my Bible. Saying, I'm not reading it anymore. I don't want to see that. No more. But it's not the Bible's fault. It's not the mirror's fault. It's my fault. It's my fault. But God is good to us. He's good to us to let us. Oh, I started to say, let us see ourselves. Even though I don't want to. Brother Tucker said, we're not going to be saved until we see ourselves. And then we're not going to be saved until we don't see ourselves. When we can look in God's Word and we say, like Paul said, it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me, the hope of glory. That's when we can enter into that day of rest. That's when we can do it. Thank God. I'm glad to be here. God is good. He's our best friend. And it is a good life.
David, I got stuck with this microphone inadvertently, but we used to sing a song. I don't think we sing it anymore. It was Master, Set the Table. Your children are here for a feast. The family's all together. The table has been spread. Master, we're ready to eat. So when I come to church, I expect a feast, either on the Word or the Spirit or both, and most of the time, I'm never disappointed. I leave here being feeling full, but have you ever fantasized about being born in a wealthy family like the Kennedys or the Rockefellers? And I look around here and I don't see anybody from the upper crust. It says that not many noble are called, not many wise after the flesh, and not many mighty. So if we were born into a wealthy family, we wouldn't be here today. If I'd born into a wealthy family, what would I need to be saved for? I'm gonna have fancy mansion and all fancy cars, and I wouldn't be looking to be saved. I wouldn't be looking to serve the Lord. But so we're blessed that we were not born in a wealthy family. But God chooses. What was it? One time Jesus was speaking, and it said the common people heard him gladly. So God chooses the lower element of society to be his servants. And we don't want to be unprofitable servants and be cast into outer darkness. And so as long as I can remember, I remember that scripture, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And I always wondered what that meant. And I thought, well, when I used to believe everybody in hell, I could just see people down in that fire just weeping and gnashing with pain. But I was reading this week, this may not be accurate, but this is the first time I've ever read this, that back in the time of the Jerusalem, they had a wall around the city because there were lions and there were enemies. So from what I read this week, they if somebody was suspected of doing wrong, like stealing or something, that they shouldn't have been doing, then if they couldn't come to a conclusion about whether they were guilty or not, there were places around the wall of certain places around the wall of Jerusalem where they would dump their garbage. So at night they would dump their garbage outside the wall, and so and they would take these people that were supposedly had done wrong, they would tie them to a rope and hang them down the wall where the garbage was, and if they were guilty, the lions would come kill them, and if they weren't guilty, they wouldn't be eaten up. So I can realize now where that gnashing of teeth, I don't know if Brother Smith may not agree that's where it came from, but it made me wonder if that's really where it came from, that if you were hanging over a wall and a lion was down there ready to eat you, I can understand where weeping and gnashing of teeth, your teeth would be pretty well chewed off, I guess, before it was over. Anyway, I just thought I'd throw that in. I've never heard that before, but I just thought that was kind of interesting to learn.
Sometimes the clouds hang low, and I'd like to see them go. Then I ask this question, Lord, why so much pain and woe? He knows what's best for me, even though I cannot see. I'll just say thank you, Lord, I can't complain. God is so good to me. He is so good to me. More than this world could be. He's so good to me. God is so good to me, I can't complain. Well, I've had bad days, and I've had hills to climb, and then I've had sad days. And then a weary mind. Yet when I look about and I think these things out loud, all of the good things, they outweigh the bad things. Oh, I can't complain.
He's so good to me. Oh, his spirit.
before we go downstairs and gnash on the food, I will give you a couple of scriptures on gnashing of teeth. Psalms 35. And this is really a prophecy of Jesus. His persecution and crucifixion. Verse 16 of Psalms 35 says, "With hypocritical mockers in feasts, they gnashed on me with their teeth. Lord, how long will you look on? Rescue my soul from their destructions, my darling, from the lions." Of course, he's talking about, you know, they're talking him down, running him down. That's what gnashing of teeth means. I always was taught in religion before I came to the body, nobody told me about these scriptures, and Jesus said there'll be gnashing of teeth. Of course, I always thought that was in hell, you know, that people be going through such suffering, they'd be grinding their teeth and, you know, and gritting their teeth and suffering so bad. But and I got in here and they gave me a few of these scriptures. Of course, when he preached and he revealed to the Jews that they were rejecting the very Messiah, the Son of God that was coming, and he went through quite a message to let them know and put a judgment on them for it. In Acts 7:54, it said, "When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth." They were so furious at Stephen, what he was doing. We go back to the one in Psalms. Oh, let's see here. Thought I'd give them a minute more to get dinner ready. yeah, in actually probably the oldest place that we are going to find it would be in the book of Job. In Job 16:9, where he's talking about his enemies, he said, "He teareth me with his wrath. He hateth me. He gnashed upon me with his teeth. Mine enemy sharpened his eyes upon me. They've gaped upon me with their mouth. They've smitten me upon the cheek reproachfully, and they gathered themselves together against me." In this 37th chapter of Psalms, it says, "The wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord will laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming." So there's a few more scriptures. Another one in the 112th Psalm, 10th verse, said, "The wicked shall see it and be grieved," talking about the righteous. They'll see the righteous in honor and exalted. "The wicked will see it and be grieved, and he'll gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish." So, we don't want to be gnashing with our teeth against the righteous, but there's one more in Lamentations in the second chapter. it says, in the 15th verse, all that pass by clap their hands at thee. They hiss and wag their head at the daughter of Jerusalem, saying, is this the city that men call the perfection of beauty, the joy of the whole earth? Of course, this is when Jerusalem was in captivity of Babylon. The joy of the whole earth, all thine enemies have opened their mouth against thee. They hiss and gnash the teeth. They say, we shall swallow her up. Certainly this is the day that we looked for. We have found, we have seen it. Saw it just talking, you know, about people being against and running down with their mouths and words. And, of course, I guess, like Brother Fleming said, if they dangled you over a bunch of hungry lions, you may be having trouble there. It may gnash with your teeth some there, but it may not do you much good. Psalms 57:4. Can you put that up there for me, Sister Claire? Or whoever's running the... My soul is among the lions, oh yes. And I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Is there one of those words that it's the same word as gnash?
It's just
mentioning, meaning showing the same spirit of men. Praise God. Well, I hope you're encouraged today. I've received from the Lord today. I appreciate it. We've got a good dinner cooked downstairs. We've got several out today. 10 or 12 I counted that are out. And then I looked around and I texted downstairs. I said, how many people are downstairs? And they texted back 9. So there's about 20 or better that aren't up here today. We feel it a little bit. But anyway, I know there's a good dinner downstairs. Let's stand and give the Lord a praise and thank Him for the food and for His blessings. And then we don't have service tonight. This is dinner day. Everybody try to stay and help us clean. And then we have a meeting with all of the department heads for the youth meeting right after dinner in the Leninger room. So the dates of the youth meeting, the 27th of June, 28th and 9th. July, excuse me. Is it 24th? 5th and 26th, I'm sorry. 24th, 25th, 26th. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God, for your blessings and your goodness to us. God, for each one, this assembly, Lord, I give you praise and thanks. Hallelujah, for your good spirit here today that you let us feel and your encouraging words, Lord. Bless the food and our fellowship. Help us, O God, to prepare for this youth meeting of the body of Christ. And once again, the youth from the assemblies would come and receive something good for their souls and to help encourage them and build them up and strengthen their walk with you, O God, we pray. Bless this day, we give you praise. Amen. All right. God bless your hearts.